Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to Dresser After Dark. Our guest, Matthew James, PhD. Dr. Matthew James is an international trainer. He's a lecturer, he's an educator, and is president of American Pacific University and the Empowerment Partnership. His work is dedicated to creating personal transformation by teaching the ancient science of consciousness and energy healing, HUNA, and with cutting edge therapeutic techniques. And let's say hi, Matthew. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. When we talk about ancient techniques, didn't this all start way back with consciousness? And then as we grew and as we got more sophisticated, we added a lot of things to confuse us?
I would agree with that, absolutely. Most of my teachers, my kumus, if you would, in the islands of Hawaii, we call them kumus, have all said that. They said in ancient times, yes, things were simpler, not just because of the lack of technology and Western thinking, but we also really realized that things were simpler. We could let go of our negative emotions, forgive people easily, and that we have those abilities inside.
Now, what about stopping the negative emotions before they even start? You know, if we can anticipate them and we can look at what's going to happen in a given situation without taking responsibility for our own feelings and our own attitudes, usually these things can stop. But I guess we're talking about a lot of people who have these buried deeply within them, and the outcome of their lives is based on what happened maybe 30 years ago.
Right, and you bring up a really interesting point. Now, of the hundreds of students that I see all around North America, Canada, Asia, in my workshops that I do, they come in two different ways. Either they have a lot of baggage, they have a lot of those past negative emotions that when something in the present happens, brings all of that stuff up, or they've done some work already and kind of let go of the baggage, and they're just trying to figure out, just in this economy, how do I maintain my focus without having the fear freak me out every night when I go to bed? And I've heard both of those, and there's really simple process or techniques that one can do that, to maintain their focus.
Well, let's talk about the word fear for a minute. Fear is, you know, if you think you're going to lose something or the other guy can hit back harder, quote unquote. We're never afraid of anything that we can control. So it's the feeling of being out of control. And I have found, Matthew, over all the years I've looked at everything that I've ever looked at, it's basically everything in life is really unknown, because if somebody's going to smack you in the nose, you know how you're going to react. If somebody's going to love you, you know how you're going to react. So there's truly isn't anything that's an unknown. What the unknown is what may happen, but the known is how you're going to react and respond. And if you know, you're a step ahead of the game.
Exactly. And this is why I tell people all the time who come up to me and they say, you know, I'm afraid of what's going on in the economy right now. What should I do? And I say, well, do you have a plan of action? Do you have some steps that you're going to take? Because truly, the fear is coming from not knowing what to do, not knowing what action to take. And everything begins with a belief in mind. This comes more from traditional psychology than anything else.
Well, sure. And basic beliefs are nothing more than you experience something. And you experience something, and based on what that something is, positive, negative, or in between, that's how your reactions are going to be. I think where we run into trouble is when we don't experience, we live our lives conceptually. Somebody else told me what this is going to be like.
Exactly.
And so when I get there, I'm not truly experiencing it. I'm getting a diluted version of what it could be.
Well, in the teachings of HUNA, what it says is that you actually are in 100% control over your reality. And I've had people say, how is that possible? Look at the economy. Look at how the things are going right now in our society. And I say, yes, do you see that there are some people in our economy, in our society, that are thriving, and that there are some people that are just barely surviving? The same reality is going by each of these people, the one that's thriving, the one that's barely surviving. And the difference between the two usually starts with your beliefs, your focus, your emotions, and then what type of action you're taking. Those three things are fundamental.
Okay, and we got to look at the subtext, what's below the surface. We hear that 7% of the country is unemployed. That's a lot of people. But nobody talks about the 93% that are employed.
That is true. You know, my heart goes out to anyone that
sure.
has lost their job. I know friends and family that are being affected by this. And so it bothers me when there are experts that come up and they say the recession's all in your mind. You know what? For someone who's actually experiencing it, it's not in their mind. It was maybe a year ago in everyone's mind. And yeah, we can say that the fear drove us to where we are right now. For people that are living it now, They have to do the same thing. They have to come up with a belief in their mind of where they want to go and make that their reality rather than the fear turning into the reality that it is right now.
Let me tell you what I'm hearing that you say underneath it, that with HUNA, and by the way, I've never been exposed to it before. This is the first time I've heard of it. But with HUNA, in and of itself, it allows you to have choices in your world. The moment that you're stuck without a choice, then the fear happens, and then you're lost, and then you're at the mercy of anything that happens in your life.
Exactly. And, you know, I believe that people have the ability inside to release the negative emotions, those fears that you're talking about. And, you know, I've taught some of the people that are out there teaching the law of attraction and positive thinking. And you know what? Positive thinking, if it fixed everything, it would have worked by now.
Well, let me jump in with positive thinking. There's a problem with that. Positive thinking is I'm in a hole and I'm going to think I'm going to get out, I'll get out, I'll get out. You know, 50 years later, I'm still in the hole thinking I'll get out.
And you're still thinking the same happy
Absolutely.
Thoughts, but nothing
changes. How about transitioning to appropriate thinking?
I like that. Yeah. I prefer that, and that's a really great approach, Michael, actually. Appropriate thinking is where you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I'm going to have a positive focus.
Yeah.
That positive thinking is very valuable. Quite frankly, though, if you're too afraid to even take the first step, you have to deal with the fear. You have to release it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, what's the outcome?
I talk about letting it out, vent it. Psychology calls it emotional disclosure. It reduces the negative effect. So you need to talk it out. You need to just let it out.
And by the way, if you hold it in, if you internalize it, that's when the problems start, because all the stuff that stops it comes out. I've always thought if anybody wanted to know what they really felt about food, chain the refrigerator. Deny yourself and watch it all come up. If you're doing exactly as you say to do and you express it, you get it out, then you can walk away with some freedom. But if you don't and you internalize it, it has a chemical effect on the body and you end up in the hospital and there's hundreds of thousands of dollars of what in therapy, and we know what that list is.
Right. See, everyone agrees about this whole mind-body connection thing now. I mean, 10
sure.
years ago when I was teaching this, people would get up and they would argue. They would say, there's no conclusive evidence that the mind and body are connected. We get that they are now. We get that the negative emotions are bad for the body. What I would also add in there is that positive focus and the fact that your body is connected. See, just sitting around thinking positive thoughts doesn't fix the problem.
No.
You have to connect it with the body, which means from a HUNA perspective, you have to take your thought into a physical action. Whether it's, I just taught a training in Toronto at a great group of people up there, and I said, listen, this training ends today. Tomorrow, you got to do something. You got to take one step forward. You got to put pen to paper. You got to verbalize something. You got to put one foot forward, because we know the mind and body are connected. You're thinking great now. Now put it into the physical and get the action going.
Well, let's take it a step farther. How many years, Matthew, have we heard, you know, laughter, you know, laughter is a good source for letting go of problems and depression and so on and so forth. Well, it is, but you have to look at the dynamic of the laughter. The moment that you laugh, it causes a chemical change in the body and it releases endorphins and so on and so forth. So when you do laugh, it does change the body. And if the body is changed, it affects the mind. So there is a total connection of all of it.
In HUNA, one of my teachers said to me, we have to, in Western thinking, say, here you have a conscious mind, here you have an unconscious mind, mind-body connection. And they said in ancient times, it was just known. The mind and body are connected. If you laugh, there's a mental, emotional, and physiological response. And it wasn't like you had to teach it. We've been having to teach these things because we went so far away from it in Western thinking.
Well, that's the whole point. We've gone away from it in Western thinking, but I really believe in my heart of hearts, we're beginning to move back to it.
Absolutely.
You can only move through so far when you realize something isn't working. Something is not right, and there's a missing ingredient. Well, you know what the missing ingredient is? Go look in the mirror.
That's it. That's at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. You look in the mirror and you're going to see the person that's in charge of your life. You're going to see the person that's in charge of your happiness. And at the end of the day, that's the only person left staring back at you.
No,
and so the total truth is that you are 100% responsible for creating your own happiness and prosperity.
Let me give you this. Let me tell you how powerful we are, okay? When you close your eyes, the lights go out all over the world.
That's true.
Yeah. And by the way, take that with everything that's going on. If you're in a bad mood, the entire world is in a bad mood through your perspective. And I think one of the major problems that we have is this elusive word, Matthew, called perfection. Okay. And perfection, I'll give you a great definition. It's the highest form of function. So if I'm in the pits and that's as high as I can perform, I'm perfect where I'm at. But I think the problem with perfection is based on somebody else's definition of the right word. And as long as I'm trying to live up to your definition at my optimum best, Matthew, I can only be the second best Matthew, and you can only be the second best Michael Ray. I'm the only one here that can be the best Michael Ray there is between us.
Are you sure you haven't heard Huna before?
No.
That would be Huna. Huna would absolutely agree with you. I carry a fourth generation lineage of this, and this was taught to my father by the son of a very well-known kahuna in Kona, and he said the exact same thing. He said that every moment is a perfect moment, that your life is perfect the way that it is right now, and that in Western thinking, you're waiting for that perfect moment. He goes, what you don't get is that the moment is perfect. As soon as you take action and step into the moment, then it becomes perfect, not because of some magical thing, because it already is perfect.
Well, see, this is what's happened with Western thinking, and I think that, excuse me, here's where the problem is. I was brought up years and years ago, and it was brought up in the 50s, and in the 50s, we learned to take responsibilities for our actions. So in essence, when we fell down, we got back up again, and we moved forward. Okay, so a challenge is what? A challenge is nothing more than a call to action. Today, if you're challenged, you get the counselors, and you know the story. If somebody sneezes, that, you know, poor baby, and there's got to be something wrong.
It's not your fault that you're sneezing.
Absolutely. It's their fault. It's the government's fault. It's who's ever. And I think that's where the problem is. If you want to talk about responsibility, all responsibility is the definition is that you take you're responsible for, or you take ownership of everything that happens in your life. Then you're responsible.
That's it. And the thing that I differentiate for people all the time is that these concepts that you and I are talking about right now, they're not about fault or blame. That's the biggest misunderstanding. People think that, well, it's my fault. It's my fault I feel this way. It's not about fault or blame. Fault or blame brings in more negative emotions. It's literally about responsibility. It's about taking ownership. And this is a good thing. I'm reminding people of this all the time.
Oh, by the way, and it's also about a mature enough understanding of what life is about. And when I say mature enough, you don't have to be 90. You could have it at 11 years old. I was 16 years old, and I remember this as if it was happening today. I was sitting in a car, and I was in love. Man, was I in love, okay? And I'm 16. She's breaking up with me for an older man, okay?
Uh-huh.
He's 18 years old, and he's in college. And what she said to me was, and I will never forget to this day, if I ever meet her, I'm going to thank her for this. She said, you'll never be the man, whatever his name was, okay? Now, at 16 years old, I said, oh, yeah, well, I can kick his butt. Right, sure, I'm the man, okay? But as I grew and I began to understand the definition of a man is someone who takes responsibility for their actions. And if we repeat that 5 million times, that's really what it's about. Be responsible, not for what they say and not for how you hear it, how you're going to respond to it.
And we shouldn't want to be someone else.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. We shouldn't want to be someone else. We should want to be ourselves. The Hawaiian word is pono. P-O-N-O. Pono means right, but not as in I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
As in having unwavering congruency in who you are, your path. And I think we've lost this idea of finding who we are meant to be, what our path is, and living it. And stop saying, that person's path over there, oh, I want that. The grass is always greener. You need to focus in on your own path. Because that is what will fulfill you.
Let me give you a prime example of that. Sitting here right now, if I had five women standing in front of me, and I could get behind each one, Matthew, and I could look through their eyes to see Michael Ray, okay? I would see five different Michael Rays. Mm-hmm. How am I going to please every one of them?
You're not. At the end of the day, you're only going to please yourself.
No, absolutely. So the way I came up to it is if you were a woman, I would say to you, ask me if I'm good looking. And they'll say, are you good looking? And I would say, absolutely. And if you don't think so, somebody else will. You hear it?
I love that. Yeah, that's actually a really positive approach to it because you know that you are going to find someone who matches your beliefs, your values, and that's finding the true love. That's finding the person that can sit there and have that same worldview with you in the relationship. That's a powerful thing.
No, absolutely. And I think a lot of it has to do with the older we get, we begin to recognize. And I think recognition is probably one of the most powerful words that there are. And when you begin to recognize, you live your life. When I say for you, if I live it for me, let me give you an analogy. They tell you when you're flying and if you've got a baby in your arms, if something happens, give yourself the oxygen first, because otherwise you can't help the baby. So if I do it for me to begin with and I give everything that I can to me, then you get 100%. I can only give you, whoever you is, in the general sense of the word, I can only give you what I have. If I love me, I can love you. If I don't love me, guess what you're going to get?
And with couples, I've been saying something very similar to this for years. I've been saying, in a relationship, I've heard people get up and talk about 50-50. Each person has to come 50-50.
Nah.
The problem with that is one person misses 1%, you're no longer connected.
No, you know what?
Each person gives 100%, and then you got room for overlap.
Yeah, I think where we have to look at that, it's a shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the people, it's about the relationship.
Exactly.
And the relationship is 100-100.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then each person is putting 100% in.
Into the relationship, which feeds back to them. And I think that's where we confuse it. You know, 50-50 means half of everything I do is diluted.
Well, what Huna says is that everything boils down to energy, and that energy acts exactly like an alternating current. What you put in is what you're going to get back. In other words, every relationship you have is like a circuit where you have energy flowing out and energy flowing back. And so at the deepest level, we're looking at it from an energetic connection. So the more you put in, the more you are going to get back, because it's a flow.
Matthew, do you have a book?
I will by the end of this year.
Okay. When you get the book, you got to come back on the show.
I absolutely will.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because I have all my information on you. I've got your bio, and I have information on Huna, but I didn't quite know whether or not you had a book yet.
Got a whole bunch of product and articles that I've done for a variety of places, and we're getting that together this year.
Wonderful. And by the way, I think it's an important thing to do, because effectively when you deal with verbalizing it, you cannot do in a half-hour radio show what a book can do.
I agree.
Yeah, so I think it's absolutely necessary. Let me hold you up just for a second. I'm Michael Ray Dresser. You're listening to Dresser After Dark. Our guest, Matthew James, PhD. We are talking about Huna, and we are also talking about you, your life, and how to live it without being deluded. Matthew, let me ask you this. You said early on that you were fourth generation. When was it that you realized that this was the life path?
I think that everyone goes through a young phase in their life. When I was in my early 20s, I had walked away from it. But actually, when I was 5, I was asking my father to begin teaching me some of the things that he was learning, like the meditations. And at the age of 13, I was learning Ho'oponopono, the forgiveness process that I did my psychology research on. And so at a very young age, I think I had grasped it. Of course, you go through those years where you want to go out there and explore the world and see, you know, where's my place in it? And I came back to that when I was in my 20s and realized that there's some very powerful messages that I had just thought were a part of growing up. Everyday life in my house was about this. And when I went out there and saw the world and that people didn't think that way, I realized that there was something valuable there to share.
That's shocking, isn't it? When you get out into the world and you realize that you're this oddball because you've got a particular philosophy and they don't understand it.
No, that's kind of what happened. I remember I was teaching one of my first trainings. I was helping out with the company, and someone raised their hand, and they said, I like my fear. It motivates me. And I had no response. I said, how can someone even think that way? Fear's not good for the body. Energetically, it's draining on you. It'll prematurely age you. I'm going through all these things in my head, and their model of the world was so different, and I realized, wow, fortunate.
You got to love this. I used to do a lot of workshops and seminars that I don't do anymore, but I remember once I was doing a Wednesday night pre-workshop for a weekend seminar, and what I did was kind of interesting. I looked at the audience, and I had somebody volunteer, and I said, look around the room, and nobody knew each other. Look around the room, find somebody that you don't like. you know, everybody's freezing up, right? So finally somebody picked somebody, and by the time we were done, we had everybody standing up at the back of the room paired off. Now, there was a young woman, she had to be probably in her late 20s, early 30s, and there was a guy about 60-some-odd years old. They were paired off. And they sat down, and I had them process, and one of the most interesting things came out. They were sitting knee to knee, and we had them say just thank you. Thank you doesn't mean, it's just positive neutrality. I don't agree, I don't disagree, I'm just acknowledging you've got something to say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and so I had her going with, you know, one of the things I don't like about you is, one of the things I don't like about you is, and then all of a sudden she stopped, her eyes got wide, and it came out, and what she said was, one of the things I don't like about you is you turned me on. Now, it scared him to death. He never came back, but she got it. And it's these underlying thoughts that we have that cause us to be and do who we are in our life. And if you don't get it, you're going to run through life not really knowing why you're afraid and why you run away from people.
Exactly, and that's Huna teaches that you need to have this exploration of yourself. You need to learn about you. I think we spend so much time looking at other people, and I think there was some statistic when I was in my psychology classes that talked about the fact that parents probably know more about Paris Hilton than their own kids.
Sure. No, absolutely.
And when that happens, never mind about themselves, by the way, they probably know more about others than they do themselves. And you need to spend some time to really focus in on yourself. How do you react to certain things? Stop beating yourself up if that's just the way that you are. Start focusing on what you can do, what your path is, what you're meant to do, and that will bring fulfillment in your life.
By the way, and how do, rhetorically, and how do you tell a kid, watch how you dress, watch how you expose yourself when they've got the kids up there bumping and grinding and half naked and doing whatever, you know, in the movies, the videos, and the naked pictures on the internet? You know, it's a double-binded message they get. And I'm not a moralist, but I'm looking at this and I'm saying that the message isn't right. You know, you talk about family values and this and that, whatever, and at the same time, they're getting fed all this information to be completely opposite that. How can I know who I am when I'm marketed to be like Paris?
I have a 9-year-old and a 2-year-old. I have a boy and a girl. And I sit down with them and watch what they're watching. And I sit down with them and I explain what they're seeing. And, of course, it's different with the 2-year-old than it is with the 9-year-old.
Sure.
But it's really about learning how to cultivate, and I see this with kids and adults, it's about learning how to cultivate the natural talents. I said to my son, I said, you know, Huna teaches that you come into life with a gift, something that you just do naturally. And a lot of us, we watch the TV shows and see other people doing things, and we think, I want that. I have a cousin who, his parents said, you got to go to school, you have to do this. This is what society says. He was gifted with his hands. He'd touch wood, and he could turn it into anything.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to follow my path. I'm going to go against what everyone's saying. Now this guy's making more money than just about anyone else in the family. He's a master woodworker, and he loves what he does. And he was so strong to be able to stand up and say, this is what I want. It's about cultivating that. It's about cultivating who you are meant to be.
I want to give you an analogy because I'm thinking as I'm listening to you, okay? You know, you get a lot of people that are frightened to death of anything spiritual because, you know, it's New Age, it's the devil, it's so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about, you know, manifesting. Well, let me give you an example of manifesting. How about this? It's the same guy in a different body and I always end up hurt. Guess who manifested it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
I mean, we're doing this every day on a practical basis, day in and day out. And when somebody puts it in front of you, you say, oh, no, that's evil stuff.
Well, I think it was Aristotle that said that we are what we repeatedly do.
Yeah.
Therefore, I think excellence isn't a random chance. Excellence, people who perform and achieve excellence, they've made that their habit. They've made that what they repeatedly do.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it starts off with the really simple things. What are you going to be feeding your mind by TV, by listening to the radio? What are you going to be feeding your emotions? What are you bringing into your neurology that creates the habits towards excellence rather than the habits towards fear and survival mode?
But well, I'm going to bring you back to the workshop that you did when the guy stood up and said, you know, fear motivates me, okay? But if that's the only thing that you can identify to, that's if that's the only thing that you can grasp that is reality, then that's what you hang on to. Because if it's the only thing that's there, what happens if it's not there? What good are you? You hear how I'm saying this.
Oh, I do.
What good are you? What kind of an identification do you have? And so on and so forth. It's like with family. We have got a completely different definition of family today. And if I don't get what I want at home, I'm going to go out in the gang. The gang's going to be family, and I'm going to get acknowledged there. There's where the problem lies.
And you do need to start with where the person is.
Yeah.
You do need to start with where you are. If all you have right now is that fear, if that's all you have and that's what you identify with, that's why I think it's tough for some people to swallow. They watch these DVDs where it says all you have to do is think happy thoughts and you're going to be a happy person. They're on the total opposite end of the spectrum. And so when I meet someone like that now that I've had the experience out there on the road and I've you know gotten to meet the thousands of people that I have, I say you got to take one step. You have to say, what is the one area where I can take one step toward what I want? Do that. Have that become your habit. Take the next step. Take the next step.
No question. Matthew, we're just about out of time. Is there a website we can find you at?
Huna.com.
Huna.com
is a website with everything we got.
Okay. H-U-N-A. Huna.com. Dr. Matthew James, hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Take care.
You too.
I'm Michael Ray Dresser. You're listening to Dresser After Dark. Stay up, stay tuned, stay with us. Wait till you hear what's coming up next.